fires one towards the goal. That's going to be blocked by Travis Wigeon.
Well, this is more like it.
This is Slangin' the Biscuit. Here's Travis Wigeon and Dave Wheeler.
Ladies and gentlemen, lads and ladies, welcome back to Slangin' the Biscuit. If you're on the video version of the show, this is going to look a little bit different than it has the past couple weeks. If you're on the audio version, you definitely want to head over to the video version for the reasons I'm about to explain. So in June of 2022, this show, I didn't know if there was going to be another episode at the time. The show had parted ways from its first installment, first version. And a gentleman in the city of Winnipeg who had the top morning show for over 20 years was nice enough to help me pick the show up, get it off and running again, and it absolutely flourished for about a year and a half. And since January and December, he has obviously no longer been with the show. But since then, the number one thing in the comment section has been, bring that man back. So today, with an absolute honor, a privilege, if you will, to announce the man who is at the top morning show in the city of Winnipeg for over 20 years. He has the hottest wife in town, father of two, with one functioning eye, is going to be returning to the show. And with that being said, I have obtained exclusive audio of what he said to me this morning when I asked him to rejoin the show. Take a listen.
I'm not fucking leaving. The show goes on. This is my home. They're going to need a fucking wrecking ball to take me out of here. They're going to need to send in the National Guard or fucking SWAT team because I ain't going nowhere.
As Ross from Friends said, we were on a break.
Man, that intro music, it is so good to hear that intro music. It is so good to, obviously, you know, recording the video version on the camera here, but I got the Zoom screen, I got all of our notes on the left-hand side of the screen. Man, this feels good. It feels good to be back. It feels natural.
The voice that you hear on that intro is that of Jarrett Schaefer, and he's the only person in the world that I have ever met that spells Jarrett, J-E-R-H-E-T-T. The strangest spelling of that name ever. Anyways, he was a radio friend of mine. We met when we walked in for our interview at the Southern Alberta Institute of Technology Polytechnic at SAIT in Calgary, and we were very fast friends, still are to this day. And so anyways, that's the voice that you hear on the intro to the podcast.
So Rob is obviously no longer a part of the show. Rob has been amazing to fill in the last two and a half months.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Let's not say he's not part of the show anymore. He still will be part of the show intermittently.
Yeah, so if Dave has a sickness or an event or something that happens where he can't come in, Rob is going to fill in for that time slot for the time being. But until then, it's Wheeler and I for the immediate future, and I am so excited.
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. You asked for it. You got it. Never say a democracy doesn't work. You voted. You got it. Happy to be back.
I got a bone to pick with you, though.
We're going to start it off like that, are we? All right, bring it.
You said at 100 Patreon members, you would join social media.
Nah,
right over 120.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
You said 100.
I said 1,000.
1,000? How are we going to get 1,000? Yeah. What if we meet at 200?
I like 1,000. Listen, I don't like being coaxed into things based on metrics, and I left social media for a reason. I am happy to be off social media. My mental health has never been better. I have ghost accounts, and I use said ghost accounts when I do research for music-based stuff or celebrity-type stuff for my show. And so I will go, and I will look, and I will grab audio and whatnot. But I really don't like the idea of, like, scroll, scroll, scroll. It's like playing Tetris. It's just endless blocks dropping down, and you're never satisfied. There's actually a TikToker. It's funny. I'm referencing social media when I'm talking about social media, but there's something called the Dorito theory. Follow me on this one for a second. So the idea is when you eat a Dorito, your immediate reaction is, I want another one of those, and then another one of those, and then another one of those. And after you finish the bag, you really don't feel fulfilled to the point where if you had a steak dinner, like you eat a steak, you're like, whoa, I am full. I am fulfilled. But when it comes to Doritos, and I'm not knocking the brand at all, they were just using this as a reference point, but social media is a lot like a Dorito. You don't just have one and go, what? That's good for me. You don't just watch one video. You keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling endlessly. And it's just like, oh, one more. Because the last video you watched didn't really give you that dopamine kick that you were looking for. And to me, that time for me is much better spent FaceTime with my kids, FaceTime with my wife. I don't want to be that guy who's like, how many likes did I get? I need to post more content. I want to make sure that it's not for me. It's not my thing. If you wanted to hear what's going on inside of here, listen to this podcast, watch this podcast, listen to the radio show. To me, that's where I am able to put in my content. So when it comes to social media, not a big fan of it. I am more than happy to be part of somebody else's social media, but it's like a drug. I quit. I don't want to go back.
So I'll keep running the social media, and anything related to you, I'll just fire that up, and
that's on you.
I did want to say also, I didn't get a chance to follow up on this last week, or at least the last episode. So the last episode that Rob and I did, I talked about Brucey, the original hater, him taking time out of his day when I was originally making videos. Every time I make a video, within the first hour of making that video, he would take a screenshot, and he would take it and Photoshop like dicks on my face and like dicks in the photos and whatnot. And Rob asked last episode, this is a tribute to Rob. Rob said, Brucey, can you do one of me? What do you think? And goddamn, Brucey delivered. Dave, what do you think of this one?
I think that is a wonderful, wonderful piece of fantasy. And I think a lot of people are going to take that and put that in the old spank bank.
What a way to send Rob off to send him off to the Let's Play Hockey Expo in Minnesota and back on to doing butt ends as he's no longer at the show for the time being.
Listen, we had a very quick meeting, the three of us, and he was totally okay with this. He was fine. He's happy to still be a fill-in person and whatnot. So don't think for a second that I said, you know, elbowed my way and said, I'm back and you get out and blah, 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 blah. This was all cordial. This was all talked about. Everyone is cool, and this is how we're doing it moving forward.
What do you think if you do one of Dave and I? What do you think about that? I think we need one of Dave and I.
Great. Throw it on social media. I'll never see it.
Oh, man. Speaking of Wild Knights, Mika Kiprusoff had his number retired last weekend, and you told a story that I think of this every single time I hear of Mika Kiprusoff's name. Could you please retell that story? I know that was the first story you told on the first episode we did a year and a half ago, but just for any of the new listeners, to retell that one.
The jersey that they lifted up to the rafters, did it have puke on it, like down the front of it? Was that the one? Is that the one they used? Listen, if you've heard the story already, I know it's been floating around on YouTube shorts and whatnot, but long story short, a good friend of mine to this day, Jason Jaffrey, had a cup of coffee with the Calgary Flames. He played more in Abbotsford than he did with the actual Flames, but during the preseason schedule, they were in Vancouver, and they went out, as you do, to the Roxy after one of the games. And just so happened that Chad Kroeger of Nickelback, we're going out tonight to kick out all the lights, that guy. And so him and Kiprusoff ended up having a couple and then a couple more and then a lot more. And they ended up back at Chad's place and played street hockey in his driveway until about 5 o'clock in the morning. And so the next morning when the team was kind of rubbing their eyes and getting down to the waiting or the lobby in the hotel, the guys were looking around. They're like, where's Kiprusoff? I haven't seen Kipper. The bus is going to be here any minute. And so Jerome McGinley calls him up and says, Kipper, where are you? He goes, I'm landing at the hotel across the street. Give me 2 minutes. I'll be right there. And so sure enough, he was being flown in by helicopter because Chad says, oh, my God, you're going to miss your bus. We got to get you there. And so we got him helicoptered in, landed on the roof of the hotel across the street, down the elevator, across the street, into the lobby, made the bus. And as they were on the bus heading to wherever the next destination was, the coach comes over and goes, Kipper, are you okay, man? And Kipper looks over and goes, yeah, coach, I'm fine. And then just got it all down the front of his shirt. So listen, that is probably not the story they told at the retirement, the number retirement in the Saddle Dome last night. But hey, there you go. That's my Mika Kiprusoff story.
Was that at the Fairmont Waterfront? Because I know all the NHL teams stay at the Fairmont Hotels.
Likely. Beautiful hotel, by the way.
Stunning. The Pan Pacific, the waterfront hotels, all that.
I actually have a story about the Fairmont waterfront. Once upon a time, when I was working for Chorus Entertainment, they did this. It was kind of a neat idea. They did what was called a morning show mentorship program. So they would team up a young gun with a veteran. And I was very fortunate enough to, and anyone in Vancouver will remember this name, was lucky enough to be paired up with Brother Jake. And if you are unfamiliar with Brother Jake, you might be more familiar with a character that he had called the Champ. Hey, 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 it's me, the Champ. And it was a great radio bit. And so I fly out to Vancouver, and the first night I stay at the Fairmont, and I brought my golf clubs because Jake's a big golfer as well. And I was hitting golf balls off my balcony into the water from the waterfront.
That's amazing. Was that the guy that did a John Cena prank phone call? Hey, you need a help from a former member of the U.S. military. His name is John Cena. You seen that video, that prank phone call?
No, I haven't seen that one. But yeah, it's likely. I mean, Jake is the now retired. Him and Jerry Forbes, another legendary morning show guy, do a podcast together. And yeah, they're both very, 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 very highly touted and very well-respected members of the broadcast industry.
That's awesome. Well, you know what? I'm very biased, but I'd much rather have you. I'm happy to have you back, Dave.
Here I am, my man. Here I am. I'm happy to be here. And listen, it was just a quick little vacation, and here we are. We're back again. As I said, you guys asked for this, so here we are. So we're moving forward. You got what you wanted, and I'm happy to be here. By the way, please sign up and subscribe, and sign up to be a Patreon member so I can pay for a better camera.
Also, I was almost invited to the Kiprasov retirement night, by the way.
What do you mean, almost invited?
So somebody from the Flames reached out. They said, hey, we saw your stuff online. We know you're in the whole goalie space. Would you like to come out and be a part of the Kiprasov night? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. What date is it? March 2nd. Oh, I'm going to be in Vail, Colorado, playing for the Yeti. Sorry, I can't make it.
Well, that's a happy coincidence. Yeah, I'm sure you'd rather be on the ice.
It was a really fun weekend. But first, we got to do a quick commercial break because this one's going to be a little bit of a long story. This show is sponsored by the team at Sheath Underwear. They've been with us since day one, since Dave's first reincarnation, and now the second reincarnation. And the reason why is they have the best underwear in the market. Sheath has a dual pouch technology to separate your dick and your balls so they do not stick to the side of your leg. They have an incredible bamboo mesh, which is cooling, comfortable, and the best underwear money can buy, period. And you get a pair right now by going to the link in the video description, the Apple Spotify notes, if you're on the video or the audio version of the show. And the code BIZKIT69, BIZKIT69, will get you 20% off the greatest underwear money has bought and ever will buy, only from the team at Sheath. And thanks to Sheath for being the presenting sponsor for the show.
Is bought a word?
Bought? Bought? Purchased?
Bought. I think bought is the word. B-O-U-G-H-T. Bought. I don't think button is a word. Do better, Travis.
Spelling was not a prerequisite to play hockey. Can you spell? Nope. All right. Here's your gloves. Stall's over there.
All right. So listen, I've already watched the vlog, but for those that haven't, I implore you to go over and watch. What an experience, man. Holy crap. It looked like it was a ton of fun, and good on you for getting out there and experiencing the altitude sickness.
Man, that was the first time I've had fun playing hockey in a very long time. Like, the last couple months have really drained my love of hockey, but this trip, it was just so much fun, start to finish. The travel, the games, every last piece of it, the whole 3-4 day trip, every bit was fun, and I really enjoyed it. And I can't wait to go back to Vail. But
what do you mean? Like, you can't wait to go back? Is that offer on the table? Is that a possibility?
We did discuss that after the second game, but coming back for next season, I'll conclude with that towards the end of the story. Why don't I just tee this up so that you can kind of get an understanding?
Please. So give me all the details.
So I flew Winnipeg to Vancouver. My flight was actually delayed by the blizzard storm that we had last week. So what was supposed to be a 2-hour layover and then a connection turned into a 9-hour layover. And instead of arriving in Denver at around 4:35 p.m., I ended up arriving a little after midnight with a 3-hour drive west to Vail in the mountains. So I ended up getting settled probably around 3 a.m.-ish, 3:30, the time I fell asleep and everything. So it was a bit of a long commute. Although I remember being a kid, like going to the airport when I worked at the restaurant called the Blue Marble right at the Winnipeg airport, thinking, man, I would love to just travel for a living and this would be so cool. And now that I get to do it, I always remind myself, like, this is awesome. This is fun. You're a little tired? Okay, great. You're in the airports? Enjoy it. This is an incredible opportunity and experience. So that was a lot of fun. But so I get to Vail and in at 3 a.m. and then about 12 hours later, 3:30, I got to leave for the game, the first game of the weekend against the Breckenridge Vipers. Now, Breckenridge is about an hour west up the road to play at the highest elevation hockey rink on planet Earth. So just shy of 10,000 feet of elevation. And for a little bit of context, Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world, their base camp starts at 16. It might even be 15.5, so 15,000 feet. So we're pretty high up there, just to give you a little bit of context, Dave.
Out of curiosity, and I'm going to try and jog everyone's memory here, but I'm pretty sure the last show we did when you talked about the suitcase killer that you sat across on the train, didn't he warn you about altitude sickness? Wasn't that one of the things that he said you got to be careful of?
He did say you got to be careful of altitude sickness, but he just said you got to get used to it. He didn't give me any actual advice or things that I can actually put into action or actionable steps. I got a lot of that from the team, but not from the suitcase killer, who, by the way, is still on the loose in Canada, for those wondering.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And we'll get to that. Actually, I did have a slight altercation at the Winnipeg. Anyway, we'll finish that story. Anyway.
All right.
So
keep going with Vail. You got, listen, you played great. I would like to say that right off the top. Good for you. It was nice to see you back in form.
Thank you very much. And that was the one, I've only skated probably like six times since I got gas from Mississippi. So since end of November, whatever, skated six times and showed up, and I was feeling really good, all things considered. So game one, first period, probably made like 15, 16 saves, one goal on a two-on-one. A great goal, a great chip by their guy. I ran the edge of the doorstep. He was just chipping from 10 feet away from the hole. And so we're up 2-1 going to the second period. Breakaway goal makes it 2-2. We ended up going up 4-2 to finish the second period. I think at this point I got two goals and 25 shots. I'm feeling really good, making a lot of saves and control, puck handling well. I actually got an assist too, by the way. I got the second assist in the third goal.
Really?
So, yeah, got the second assist.
That's amazing.
You ever seen Tom J. Stewart, some of his comedy skits online about you know, the guy chiseling points with the linesman or like the timekeeper?
Oh, man, listen, I have played with guys who, after a goal, they would jump out on the ice just so the stats guy could see his number.
Well, I can't do that because I'm always in the ice. If I did tell the ref, I'm like, hey, man, like, I think I had the second assist in that one. I should have 2 points tonight. I'm just saying. But anyway. So also, the commentator for the Breckenridge Ripers, because the game was live streamed from Breckenridge, he had talked about how I'm a TikTok influencer, which is not the case. I'm a podcaster, not a TikTok influencer. And like the net kept coming off because the nets weren't pegged down properly. And on the broadcast, he says, I wonder if this is part of Ridgen's TikTok game. Is he trying to knock the net off for content? He's running short on stuff these days? So I thought that was interesting. But after the second period, so when you watch the video, obviously the mic'd up series is going to be live at this point in time with this podcast going up. But I was so out of breath the entire night. Like this altitude sickness that the suitcase killer told me about, I've heard about it, but I didn't actually understand it. And I looked it up. So at sea level, you have 100% oxygen availability. But at this height, around 10,000 feet, you're only getting about 65% oxygen. So I'm missing about 35%. So there's less oxygen in every single breath I'm taking. And if you hear the audio on the mic'd up part, you hear me gasping out of breath, like, I sound like a fat kid at like Burger King or at the Chuck E. Cheese playpen. And so I'm feeling insane pressure through my nose. I know I got a big beat to begin with, but like right like in the middle of my nose, I'm feeling all this pressure, like right kind of like through the sides of my head, almost like getting on a plane too. Like when the plane goes up, you feel that pressure. Super lightheaded. I honestly felt like I was going to throw up. I mean, I was crushing like mustard packets in the intermission to try to like stay hydrated and avoid cramps. And I just told the guys at the end of the second period, I said, listen, like, I think it's better if the other guy plays. I don't feel very good right now, and I don't want to fall apart in the third period and hurt us. So why don't we let him play? And so he went in, made a couple of really big saves. The game ended up getting like super electric. Their fans were crazy. They had a sellout crowd. And these fans, we have a guy like smashing on the glass. I'll throw a video on the video version of the show. He's flipping us off behind the bench. There's a guy throwing water at us. There's a guy like leaning over the glass, cussing and swearing at us, telling our coach, hey, you got a bald spot, which, you know, I thought it was kind of funny. But these fans were crazy.
I saw that guy. He was very front and center at the end of the vlog, if you haven't seen it yet. And he's, oh, man, I love fans like that. God love them.
Yeah, he was a frequent flyer at the concession stand. But the fans were great in Breckenridge. I didn't have any issues. Everybody was very nice to me. There was some guy actually yelling in the upper deck. He's yelling, Trav, I heard you don't pay your taxes. And I thought to myself, I haven't paid my taxes yet this year. I have to do my taxes for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So thank you for the reminder. I do pay my taxes, just not this year yet. But everybody else was very nice for the most part. There's a guy in the second period yelling at me, like, because you know how like between the dashers there's a little like hole, a little like slot, right? Mm-hmm. So like he's yelling through the slot. He's like, Trav, you got no friends. Nobody likes you. Don't forget it. So the fans were great, though.
Kind of reminds me in Nashville. I'm pretty sure it was Nashville in the playoffs last year, the year before, when after a goal, they say, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. I love that. I think that's great.
We like it. We love it. We want some more of it. It's all your fault. And then, Ridgen. Yeah, you suck.
Yeah, heard that a little bit too. That was, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what to expect when you said you're going down and playing in a men's league game. I was surprised. And the best way I can equate it is it's probably the equivalent of what the Allen Cup is in Canada. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely accurate. So it's senior hockey, senior A hockey, semi-pro. But with the crowd capacity, they're probably getting more than we were getting in the Fed. It was crazy. Like, you can see in the video version, it is a packed house, standing room only.
Yeah, I would say there's probably 1,500 people in the barn that night.
I don't know the capacity for Breckenridge. I know for us, we have standing room only for 1,450, 1,500. And to give you some context, like every game is a sellout in Vail, and they're having such a hard time keeping up with the demand. So next season, and I could be wrong, so apologies to Kyle and the guys in Vail for messing up any of these details. So next year, I think they're going to be moving to a different rink because they're going to be stripping apart the current one. They're going to take the roof off. They're going to be adding a whole upper balcony and a whole other section on the other side of the rink. So they're going to go from like 1,450, 1,500 to almost 3,000. Imagine that. You have such a demand, you have to rip off the rink and add more to the arena you have right now. Like, that is a great problem to have.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. It kind of reminds me of what's going on over in Wrexham with Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney's team. They're trying to complete the bleachers on the south end of their area, and they're calling it the fourth wall, which I think is hilarious, but they just got a temporary stand set up there right now. But yeah, I think it's it's a good problem to have when you when you're turning people away. Supply and demand, right?
Literally. And the fans were crazy. Even for game two, we had probably more fans in the seats for warm-ups than Motor City and Watertown had for games when I was there combined, just to give you an idea of how full this place was. But as far as game one goes, we ended up losing 6-5. Kind of ended up going back and forth. We lose 6-5 in Breckenridge. We come back at home to the sold-out crowd. And so we go up 2-0 in the first period. We're humming and we're hot. Right, the crowd's electric. It was just such an unreal atmosphere. The fans were so good to me too, because the balcony above the net is so close. It almost reminded me of like an OCN of the Res Dome in junior hockey when they throw like sunflower seeds and chew spit at me. But instead, they're not throwing stuff at me. They're chanting my name and, you know, let's go Ridge and Trav, Trav, Trav. It was so good. It was so fun. And so we go up 2-0. Second period, we're kind of falling apart a little bit defensively. We're down 3-2. After a couple of penalty trouble, a little bit of penalty trouble. And then in the third period, we tied up a couple minutes into the third. And with 2 minutes left, we scored the go-ahead goal to go up 4-3. And the place is just exploding. You might have even been able to take the roof off then. It got so loud in that place. But about a minute and a bit left, we had a new in-game announcer guy. Kind of like what you were doing, like man in the stands for the Hippen and for the Jets and for the Moose all those years ago.
Yep.
And so the guys, let's get ready to Yeti. Let's go, fans. Or that type of stuff. And the crowd was, they were getting louder. But I personally thought they could have definitely gotten louder than that. And so you'll see in the video version, I'm kind of going around and I'm telling them, like, let's go. Get your ass up, Vail. Come on. And we got a minute left. We're about to kill a 6-on-4. And I'm skating around the defensive zone before the faceoff, hyping up the fans, telling them, get off your ass. Let's go. Let's kill this penalty together. I couldn't imagine what the Breckenridge team was thinking. Was this guy's going to get the crowd to kill this penalty for him? Come on. What a loser. But we ended up doing it.
Speaking of announcing, when I watched the vlog, am I correct in assuming that the game was broadcast either on radio or on YouTube? I mean, it was a broadcasted game. Am I accurate on that?
The first game was. The second game was not.
And where was it being broadcast?
On YouTube. So the YouTube stream for the Breckenridge Vipers for the Mountain Hockey League, the MHL. If you go on YouTube, you can see the game. You can rewatch the whole thing start to finish for the first game, not the second game.
Make sure you put a link down in the description for people that want to see that. I think that's great. I love that.
It was good. It was really good broadcast too. I will say I think when they do it live, the quality isn't as high as what it is once it's processed and it goes up. But all in all, it was a really good stream from the Breckenridge guys. Great commentator too. Great voice for the play-by-play. But we ended up killing that penalty, the 6-on-4. And the crowd goes nuts. Big win. And after the game, just to give you an idea of how awesome these fans were, so we have post-game meal at the team bar. They have like a whole like pasta setup, and I think they might have had a salad there as well. It was really nice. And so I'm sitting down with a couple of guys. We're having dinner. And one of the fans, obviously, he's had a few to drink. He comes up to me. He's like, hey, 45, because I'm wearing 45. We don't have last names in the back of the jerseys. We just have the sponsor, Pink Whitney. So he's like,
what an amazing coincidence, by the way. I thought that was hilarious.
I know, right? So the guy comes up to me, he's like, hey, 45, you played a great game. What do you want? It was almost like out of Goon, you know, when the coach comes up to Doug and he's like, hey, Doug, you're great. Thanks, coach. You're great, too.
Give me an indication of what the locker room was like. I'm sure you're in a room with a bunch of beauties.
Guys were great. They were very welcoming. They welcomed me with open arms. I can't say enough positive things about the guys. It was, like I said, Dave, it was the first time in months where I've actually had fun playing hockey. And I was actually leaving thinking, I can't wait to come back. I'm looking forward to this again, as opposed to, you know, some previous experiences where I'm leaving the rink and I'm like, oh, God, I got to come back tomorrow. How am I going to do this? Like, this is a little bit tough. Obviously, we've talked about the adversity and embracing challenges and making the most of it. But this was actually fun, and this was a really, really good time. I really, really had a good, fun experience with the Yeti.
So what are the odds of you going back there anytime soon?
I was told I'm more than welcome to come back and play there next season if I'd like to. Although we do, between my agent and I was told to shut up about some things, but there is an offer on the table that may or may not have been signed for next season. We can talk about it on a different episode, but...
When? Tell me. You sure? If you're going to make that commitment, I'm going to ask you about it next week. So is that when we find out?
Sure. We'll talk about it next week. I want to talk about the one fan, though. This is awesome. So the guy asked, he's like, what do you want? And I said, I don't know. Give me a Coke Zero. Because he wanted to buy me alcohol, but obviously I don't drink. Mm-hmm. He's like, come on, have a drink with me. I said, I appreciate that, dog, but I don't drink. So how about a Coke Zero? Sure. He gets me a Coke Zero. And he comes up to me. He's like, how's the Coke Zero? It's great. It's crisp. It's foaming. I love it. You didn't need anything else. I'm a big dessert guy. So I said, I don't know. You guys got any dessert? He turns around. He looks at the bartender. Hey, bartender, how about a dessert menu for 4 or 5 over here? And so the bartender comes. He brings a dessert menu. He's like, what do you want, bud? And I love New York cheesecake. I love a good plain cheesecake like that. And my woman in Vancouver, her brown butter chocolate chunk cookies and the cheesecake, that's the way to my heart. And so I said, how about a piece of cheesecake? He's like, hey, waiter, 3 cheesecakes. I'm like, 3 cheesecakes? I'm a big boy. I'm like 6'5", 235, but I can't eat 3 cheesecakes. He's like, how about 2? All right. 2 cheesecakes. And I'll throw a picture on the video version of the show. This cheesecake was huge. This cheesecake was like the size of my head, these massive slices. So I ended up crushing it all, and the boys were very supportive in me finishing up the cheesecake. They're like, you got to finish the cheesecake. You can't leave any cheesecake behind.
Goes the spoils.
What are you going to do? Take home the graham cracker crust? You got to finish the whole thing. But that was that, man. That was and you can see the video on the video version of the show as well. But it was such a good trip. It was such a good experience. And I'm so happy I went. I really am. And to Kyle Moore, the GM and owner, to Don Panetta, who allowed me to stay with him and his wife, Allie, they were so good to me. Such a good experience, and thank you so much. I can't wait to come back next time. And also, too, Kyle was nice enough to fly me Air Canada and allowed me to keep all the Aeroplan points. So, Kyle, thanks for the Aeroplan points as well.
Wow. Look at you. So you're okay with being a gun for hire is what I'm getting.
Well, I'm playing in a $25,000 cash res tournament, like a native tournament at the end of the month, too. So I'm playing for cash. I'm playing for keeps here.
Where's that one happening?
That one's supposed to happen in Kenora. They're also looking to do one in OCN second week of April, first week of April. So I might be seeing you more in person, by the way, as well.
Well, listen, I know that the one that was supposed to happen up in the Edmonton area ended up getting canceled because of a plane crash, which is just terrible, and my heart goes out to anyone affected by that one. But I'm happy to see that you're going to be at least playing a little bit more hockey before the end of the season.
Yeah, and possibly coming home with some cash. I mean, 25 grand split between 15, 20 guys, plus they're paying for my flights. They're going to pay me cash for showing up just for existing, plus performance bonuses. Like, I can bring home a lot of money just by playing well and playing like I did in Vail. By the way, 2 goals and 25 shots, 3 on 49 for a 5 goals and 74 shots in 2 games with the Yeti in senior hockey. And I know the comment section with the Instagram clips I've posted already has been going nuts with, oh my God, this hockey sucks. No wonder he's playing well because the guys are not very good. We had 7 former NCAA Division I players, guys who played NCAA Division I in the last 3 to 5 years. They even had one guy on Breckenridge. I think his last name is Houlihan. He was so good. He just came from the NCAA Division I. So these guys are good. And I think the difference between this senior hockey compared to like playing in the Fed, and you can ask the Fed boys. Remember talking with Blake Weirich in Mississippi? He played a U.S. National Development Program. We were talking about how the Fed is just so unstructured. It's just not very friendly to the goaltenders. So we're facing all these high opportunities. You look at the scoreboard on a Friday, Saturday night, there's a couple games that are 5, 6, 7, a touchdown, right? Like the Mississippi football team giving up a 10 spot. So it's very challenging hockey to sustain and succeed in as a goaltender compared to here, where I felt it was really structured. I felt I was put in a position to succeed, and a lot of the defense is credit to the team, right?
Any relation to Patches O'Houlihan?
I have no idea. Man, but I will say Houlihan was a good-looking guy. On Breckenridge, he looked pretty good.
Patches O'Houlihan is from Dodgeball. He was Rip Torn, the guy in the coach. The guy in the wheelchair.
Bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pans out for him.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Also, I did want to talk about, speaking of the Aeroplan stuff, the Air Canada Maple Leaf Lounge. I got to experience the Winnipeg one domestic, the Vancouver domestic, and the Vancouver international. And wow, what an experience. This is why I became an Aeroplan member. So the international lounge did not have any hot food. They just had like chicken wraps, which are actually pretty good. Barbecue Chipotle chicken wraps. But one thing that the international lounge had that the domestic didn't was hard booze. They had all the hard liquor. And the only thing I could think of was if me and Dave were to do a trip together, Dave could drink my alcohol, get absolutely crippled 3 hours before the flight, sober up 8 hours to Germany, and then we can go have a time over in Europe next season for the – or I shouldn't have said Germany, damn it – for the team I play for next season.
You had me at hello.
You will drink them dry.
Listen, I'm not much of a hard alcohol guy. When the hard alcohol comes out, I turn into a different human. So I usually just stick to beer. But I can drink beer with the best of them.
They have the beer and the wine in the domestic lounges and hot food, though. The Winnipeg Lounge, though, is my favorite by far. Those hot beans and eggs for breakfast. God bless whoever sits beside me on the flight, but baked beans, cheese omelets, my favorite. They serve booze and wine after 11, so that's all for you, Dave.
Out of curiosity, which experience do you prefer when it comes to the amenities of food and beverage? Is it the train or the plane?
Ooh. I like them. I'm going to sound like my mom when she talks about who her favorite child is. I love them both, but in different ways. So I love the train because of the experience, you get the scenery, the views, you just can't get on the plane. And then you get actual chefs cooking you a beautiful fine dining dinner with the prime rib, filet mignon, chicken supreme, rack of lamb, the desserts, all of it's incredible. But in the airport, though, I get a decent meal. I can tell it's mostly frozen food, but it's decent frozen food. You get all the water you want, you get all the coffee you want, all that great stuff. And it's really good water, too. It's filtered and everything, kind of like the Starbucks waters. But you can also sit down, get some work done, relax. I like the Winnipeg Lounge the best, though, because it's usually about 25, maybe 30% full. The Vancouver domestic one, it's hit or miss. It could be 100% full with screaming kids or quiet. So if I had to pick, I'm going to go with the train. You know I love the train. You and I got to do a train trip. Oh, also, I have an update from the Suitcase Killer, my compensation from VRL. You ready, Dave?
Yeah, I'm ready. What do you got?
So I got compensated a free trip plus points, which I'm going to be taking my missus on for the beginning of October, first couple of days of October. We're going to do Vancouver to Toronto on the house, middle of fall, or right in the, you know, the colors of fall, the oranges and the yellows and the reds, Vancouver to Toronto on the train before I head off to Europe for next season.
Good for you. Good for you. All right, so another little teaser there about what's happening next week. So I'm curious to know more about this mystery team.
See, folks, you get punched in the head by the Suitcase Killer of the train, you soak that shit, and you get a free trip with your missus. Not bad.
Worth it every time.
Although I did mention to you before we started recording the show, I was at Muay Thai yesterday. I went to one of the sparring classes, the Friday ones, apparently for all the hardo guys. There was no drills beforehand. And man, I got humbled by some of these guys. I got punched in the face probably more times yesterday in an hour than I have in my life. These guys just kept punching me. They're like, do you want me to go a little bit easier? And you're like, no, got to hold my hands up. Keep hitting me in the face and I'll learn eventually.
Well, listen, it reminds me of a great quote, and this will be a nice transition into our next topic, but it reminds me of the old Mike Tyson quote, everyone's got a game plan until they get punched in the face.
Everyone's got a game plan until they get punched in the face.
And speaking of which, if you don't know, Mike Tyson is going to be fighting, Jake Paul or is it the other Paul? Logan Paul? It's
Jake Paul. It's the one that we actually like, or at least the one that we can stomach.
Well, listen, here's the thing. I'm not going to call him a boxer because he's not. He is a prize fighter, and there's nothing wrong with that. He has decided that he's going to make his money by doing these big pay-per-views and fighting retired boxers, and he's had a handful of them and former UFC guys and whatnot. And then, listen, it gets eyes on the card, and he makes a lot of money from it, but I'm not going to call him a boxer because he has not gone through the ranks and actually been ranked and gone through the WBA and all that kind of stuff. But I think he is going to get absolutely humiliated by a 60-year-old Mike Tyson. I don't think people understand, and for those that aren't old enough to remember when Iron Mike was in the ring, but that guy goes into the ring with a different mentality. Like, he goes into the ring with, I'm going to kill the person in the other corner of this squared circle. I'm going to murder them, and people are going to watch me murder them. Jake Paul is going in going, I'm going to make a lot of money regardless of what happens, and that's going to be his downfall, because Mike Tyson, I don't care how old he is, I don't care how old Jake Paul is, he is going to get his ass handed to him by Iron Mike. It is going to be, I call a knockout inside of the first three rounds for Mike Tyson.
Can we appreciate the fact that the fight is for free and it's on Netflix? So I can watch it, you can watch it. We don't have to go on the streaming websites, the StreamEast.com or any of the scamming websites to watch it legally. It's just free. Get Netflix, it's free.
Yeah, I think we're witnessing a turn in how we're consuming our content with Netflix doing these live events and whatnot. And I mean, now that they're doing the WWE events as well, like I think it's in a strange way, it's almost kind of mirroring what cable used to do. And I'm really curious to see how it pans out, because I cut my cable probably about 3 years ago, and I've been online since then, and I have the Netflix and the Disney Plus and the YouTube subscription. And if I was to sign up for everything, it would probably be the equivalent cost of what cable is. But yeah, I think we're in a real kind of let's wait and see what happens when it comes to this whole live streaming thing.
Do we have a date for the fight, by the way?
July 20th, 2024. They will be in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play.
Ooh, that'll be a great fight. Great venue, too. Isn't that where Linkin Park played... What was that concert series they did all those years ago that was really popular, went on DVD and everything? I can't remember. Live in Texas.
No idea.
Anyway, RIP. But on the topic, though, of big money and cash prize fights, if you have big cash you're bringing in, you got to have a place to put it. Enter the Ridge Wallet, the second sponsor for the show. The Ridge Wallet is incredible. Holds up to 12 cards. It is also life-proof. So if you can find a way to break it, send you a new one, no questions asked, as simple as that. They have an incredible leather or matte titanium finish. They have so many different looks and styles. They do backpacks, rings, all types of accessories. You're going to love them, but the Ridge Wallet is where it's at. I've been using mine for almost 4 years. I just transitioned into a brand new leather one. It looks so good right now. I love it so much. And you can too right now. You go to the link in the video description at ridgewallets.com. Use the code TravSucks. It's going to get you 10% off your Ridge Wallet today. Also, Ridge Wallets, it has my goddamn last name in it. Basically, you got to get a Ridge Wallet today. What are you waiting for? Get one. Dave's going to have one later this week. He's going to stop at my mom's house. My mom's going to give him a brand new wallet. Hopefully, that's all that she gives him. And then, yeah.
By the way, I love the way that they were calling you Riggin. Travis Rigdon.
I think the guy might have been having a seizure on the air. Can somebody go check if he's okay?
Rigdon. Travis Rigdon.
The TikTok guy who's knocking the net off for his TikTok influencing game. Is this part of his strategy?
I don't understand, but he's a TikToker. Is this? I thought that was very interesting. Very interesting way to set up your debut with the Veil Yeti.
Tough shoe to fill for next time. But speaking of filling shoes, and anyway, this story, when I heard about this one blew my mind. I thought I'd heard of everything in the Fed until I heard this story. Now, I've changed
some details. Careful.
I've had to change some details so that I don't have any problems on my hand.
Careful.
However, and I'm not going to comment whether this is a team that I've played for or not, because I played for half the teams in the league already, and I know Dave's going to ask, he's going to kind of give it away.
Careful.
Essentially, there is a team in the Fed this season, recently, where one of the players was promoted to assistant coach and invited to live with the man in charge. He had to live with his kids, and his wife, and his family, coming to the rink every single day. He ended up sleeping with his wife a bunch of times and got an indefinite suspension and sent home. This guy was a very, very good player. And I heard this story, and again, I thought I'd heard everything in the Fed. I've heard and I've seen it all. But when I heard this one, I thought, this can't be real. But then I heard from multiple sources and other people within the league, dude, this happened. We didn't think it happened either. But then we saw, and then the owner had to fly in, have a meeting with the team. Listen, guys, can we stop doing this? Can we not touch the guy's wife anymore? Just leave her be. Thank you. You know what's a big issue? When the owner flies in specifically to tell the guys, don't touch so-and-so's wife. Please. Like, just makes me shake my head. And yeah, welcome to the Fed, I guess.
In the traveling circus, as we've called it numerous times before, and that just fits in beautifully.
Who's the GM or the manager for Motley Crue? You know in the movie The Dirt, the manager?
Yeah.
When he said, one rule, don't leave your wife around Motley Crue. She will
Doc
be... Doc McGee. Same thing. Don't leave your wife around guys in the Fed. She will be...
Unbelievable.
You gotta, if you're the guy, it's not so funny, but us talking about it, this is rather entertaining. Also, I did have a note to follow up on from a story I told you about last week. But Motor City, the guys, when we would travel in Binghamton, Delaware, etc., and somebody on the team says, hey, no girls in the hotel anymore. So they said, okay, instead of bringing them in the hotel, we'll just bring them to the parking lot, and that's it. Remember that story?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had somebody within the team that I played with reach out and say, Trav, it's a great story. I laugh watching the clip. You forgot the most important part of the story, the best detail of all. And I said, oh, so-and-so, what was that? And he said, do you remember when we got back after that trip, we'd practice on Monday, and not one, but two of the perpetrators wanted to argue that, hey, guys, it's a Delaware 10. It's a Delaware 10. That's why we did it. And the guys in the room said, listen, so-and-so, that's not a Delaware 10. That's a Detroit 2. That's a Saskatchewan 2. That's a New York 2. That's a Vancouver 2. That's a 2 across the board. Let's not get this confused here. And then they ended up getting fined $5 in team court. I just wanted to add that on. That was the best part of the story. So-and-so told me.
Listen, you got to slay a few dragons to get to your princess.
Man, you know what I feel bad for? I feel bad for the girls' suspension. So when the girls would drive to the hotel and there was suspension, the old, if the trailer's rocking, don't come knocking. By the way, nobody picked up on the fact that it was the Motor City Rockers. If the trailer's rocking, don't come knocking. Nobody picked up on that last week.
Yeah, well. Whew.
Story of my career. Over the head.
12-pass version. By the way, are your stats going to show up with the Vail Yeti on HockeyDB? Because that should bring down your goals against average, which is sitting somewhere around 12 or 14 right now, I think.
It should show up on Lead Prospects. I think it'll show up as like a 3 goals against and a 920 or 930 something save percentage, which is very much needed on my Lead Prospects. Or as Dave likes to call it, mediocre prospects.
Yeah. Let's see what we got here. You are on the Vail Yeti. Yeah. The stats aren't up there yet, but you are officially on the board.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah. Also, did I tell you about the altercation I almost got into in the Winnipeg airport? Speaking of, you got the suitcase killer, you got this guy at the Winnipeg airport. Things are getting crazy around here. Did I tell you about that?
Man, you just welcome drama in your life, don't you?
I was wondering after this incident, I was like, am I the problem? Am I giving off energy that welcomes this? Like, am I doing something? So I'm at the Winnipeg airport. I'm going through like the security line. You know, like when you put like your bag, laptop, liquids, gels, and they go through the conveyor belt, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so there's a couple people ahead of me. They're putting their stuff back in their bag, and then I'm behind them. I'm putting my stuff in. The security guy kind of stripped everything out of my backpack, so I'm trying to put it in as quickly as I can. The guys to my left finished up, but they didn't take their conveyor belt bins out and put them back away. They just left them there. So I'm trying to put my stuff in as fast as I can, trying to be respectful of everybody else. And this gentleman to my left, he's this tiny little old guy. He comes up yapping at me. He's like, you know you're supposed to move down, right? I said, sir, like, look, there's bins. He's like, move down. And at this point, I gave him a death stare because, you know, I just had the suitcase killer punch me in the head 3 days ago. I'd taken shit from some dude at an airport, right? Like, we're locked in here, dude. Cage is locked. And so I looked at him and I said, thank you. That is enough. And then I kind of walked and I looked over top of him because he's probably about 55, maybe like 5'5". And he just kind of gave me a look and he just stopped. And that was it. So I almost might have had an altercation at the Winnipeg airport and not got into the lounge for the beans and eggs.
I'm telling you, man, you could write a book on the amount of encounters you've had in travel spots.
Have I ever told you my idea for writing a book? The actual like visual concept for it or no?
Tell me.
I want to write a book kind of like yours, Doggone Crazy, but with every chapter and every single story, there's like a QR code. You scan it and it'll take you to a YouTube video that actually brings you into the experience. So I'll explain it to you in paper format. You read it. Oh, okay. Now here's the actual version of it. So it's almost kind of like a kid's like picture book with a QR code. Does that make sense?
Like a choose your own adventure.
Essentially, like, yeah, skip to page 42, skip to page 48. This is the adventure you pick. But with all these altercations, man, we need a Dog the Bounty Hunter. Dog needs to come out of retirement and come to Canada, I think.
Listen, when it comes to bounty hunters, he certainly was the foremost authority on that one, that's for sure. Listen, before I know we're getting close to wrapping up here, I want to make sure that people know, as a Winnipeg Jet fan, I feel like we have a window with the signing of Tyler Toffoli. The Winnipeg Jets are going to go on a run this Stanley Cup playoff season. Watch for it. I am calling the Jets in the Stanley Cup Finals, and they might meet the Carolina Hurricanes there. Not 100% sure, but they got to get through the Vegas Golden Knights, who also strengthened themselves with the trade deadline on Friday. But man, oh man, I am so excited for playoff time. I think the Jets have an actual chance at getting a Stanley Cup this year, and I'm not even saying that as a biased fan.
You're very biased, but you know what I really liked about your morning radio show yesterday? You were talking about the trade deadline and the worst possible trade the Jets could make. I was dying on my walk across the Canby Street Bridge when I heard you talking about, and the Jets trade Connor Hellebuyck for a massage table, because the only thing I could think of was in the Fed. We traded Ridgen for a steak dinner and 3 hotel rooms.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, I've heard of stranger deals, a bag of pucks and some pylons for a player. It's a wacky sport, ladies and gentlemen. But no, there's no way we're letting go of Connor Hellebuyck. He's the top goalie in the league right now. Vezina Trophy candidate for sure. And he is going to carry that team all the way into the Stanley Cup Finals. I promise you.
Man, he's so good. I still want to rip off his skin and wear it to my birthday party.
Anything else before we wrap up here? I want to say I'm happy to be back. I'm looking forward to doing numerous shows. As far as your travel schedule, what are we looking at here over the next couple of weeks, just so people know?
We'll get to that in a second, but first a quick word from the third sponsor for the show, the team at Manscaped.com. Manscaped, they have their brand new Lawnmower 5 for all your below-the-belt grooming. You need it for date night. They also have the Beard Hedger with 20 different lengths. They both have a 60-minute battery life. Their waterproof design is incredible. I use my Beard Hedger for fading, taping my beard in between appointments with my barber. And right now, you go to the video version of the show, you click on the link in the video description, you go to Manscaped.com, and the code BISKIT, B-I-Z-K-I-T, will get you 20% off and free shipping only from the team at Manscaped. And if you're on the Apple Spotify version, same thing, pull over and save to do so. Podcast and notes, click on that link, code, get yourself a brand new beard hedger and a Lawnmower 5 this spring season for your summer glow.
I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be using it a lot more lately to make sure everything's trimmed up here. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but for all those people that were chirping me about my hair, she gone. I'm officially bald now, so you're going to get to watch it grow back in real time.
Yeah, somebody commented last week, I ain't taking no advice from some dude with a man bun, and then Dave immediately shaved his head off after that.
Fun fact, I did not know this, and for those that are wondering why the new haircut, my co-host on the radio morning show, it was the 10-year anniversary of losing his best friend to cancer, and he wanted to mark the occasion by going bald, and I said, the only way I'll do it is if you can guarantee me that my hair will go towards making wigs for people going through chemotherapy. And so sure enough, we checked, and my hair was long enough, and so we trimmed it up, and is going to be going to making wigs for children who are going through chemotherapy. And although Tyler, my co-host, his hair was not long enough to donate for a wig, fun fact, he still was able to donate it because apparently human hair is amazing for picking up oil spills.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so too. So all the hair went towards a good cause, and yeah, I'm happy. Actually, my two kids came in, by the way, my two boys, Angus and Odin, they came in and shaved their heads as well. So mom was happy because their hair is finally out of their face.
I heard you shaved. You got your head shaved when we were trying to leave the network, and they said, you ain't leaving. You said, I'm leaving. Then they shaved your head on the way out.
I ain't leaving. You're going to need a wrecking ball to get me out of here.
You're going to bring in the National Guard, the SWAT team, and the military. I ain't leaving.
Listen, it was we were on a break, as I mentioned off the top of the show from Friends with Ross. But listen, give everyone an update as far as the recording schedule. Where are you going to be over the next few weeks and month?
So the podcast will keep going every single Sunday, as it always has been, with Dave and I together and moving forward. Dave is not leaving anytime soon. I'm very happy to have him back, but as far as my travel schedule goes, I got that tournament, that Res Native tournament for cash prize in Kenora at the end of March. I got the OCN in what the hell does OCN stand for? Ojibwe Cree Sikapo? I can't remember. Dave, help me out with that one.
Opaskwak Cree Nation.
That place. That's the beginning, maybe second week of April for cash prize as well. I'm also going to Calgary and Lake Louise at the end of this month, right before that Kenora tournament, taking my missus on a little bit of vacation. I'm listening to some of Dave's advice. Dave said, instead of moving in with a chick or making all these bad decisions, take her on a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to find out if you want to tolerate her. So
absolutely.
I'm very excited. We're going to do 2 days in Calgary at the Palliser, 2 days at Lake Louise at the Chateau Lake Louise. Bring in the Korg, bring in his little bed. I got his little, you can see here in the video version of the show, I got his little duck here. He brings his little duck. He stays over here. I was telling Dave before we started recording the show, I think it's the funniest thing ever. Whenever she stays over, and you know, you wake up 7:15 in the morning because he wants his breakfast, because he's got these short little stumpy legs, he'll just like sit on the edge of the bed, and with his tail wagging, he'll just like stare at me. And I open my eyes, and he's like, hey man, you want to feed me? I'm waiting.
Listen, you're a sucker for dogs, and I know you love that corgi, and I hope everything works out with you. I was lucky enough to meet your beautiful girl on FaceTime recently, and boy oh boy, once she sobers up and gets glasses, you're in big trouble.
That makes two of us. By the way, I got her, so Starbucks has these like collectible series mugs, so like if you go to Vancouver, they have a Vancouver mug, Calgary probably has a Calgary mug, Winnipeg has a Winnipeg mug, so I got my mom a Vancouver mug, she loves it, she drinks her coffee out of it every morning, and then I got Bella a Winnipeg cup, and she drinks her tea, she's drinking her coffee. She's like, this is my favorite mug. She loves that mug so much.
Actually, I
bought that Winnipeg mug with you. You were with me at Starbucks when I bought that.
I was indeed, as a matter of fact, yeah.
So I got a happy woman. I got a happy corgi, and hopefully we have a happy viewership of podcast listeners now that Mr. Wheeler's back. And I just want to say, Dave, I am so excited. I'm so happy to have you back, and man, it feels good. It feels like, remember when we first started, like right in the Motor City days, and we were building some of the show. It's going to be back on track and building back to where we left off before Christmas.
We were on a break.
And on that note, Sling the Biscuit drops a new episode of the show every single Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern. That is 10 in Winnipeg and the prairies of Manitoba and Saskatchewan. That is 9 a.m. down the Bow Valley in the flatlands, foothills of Calgary, Alberta, and 8 a.m. in the Pacific Northwest here in downtown Vancouver. My name is Travis Ridgen, your favorite unemployed professional hockey goaltender, now Senior A semi-pro goaltender for the Vail Yeti. On behalf of Dave Wheeler, who has the top morning show in the city of Winnipeg, he's got the hottest grill in town, father of two, has one functioning eyeball. Thank you for listening to the show. And we will see you next Sunday.
Subscribe so I can get a new camera.